right. It's 1:06. Meeting is going to be called to order. I just want to point out to anybody who's going to be coming up here to make a presentation, we have, in order to make the LCD projector available, we've got all these cords right over here, so please keep your heads up, no tripping, because you'll slide on that floor. Okay? And we don't want to see that. All right. So, first order of business is correction and approval of minutes.
The November ones are on there, but I think we actually approved those.
We did. Okay. I thought. Okay, so correction, approval of the February 13 minutes. Hearing no suggestions. Okay. Moving on. Reports from standing committees, rights and responsibilities. Yeah, I know.
Hello, everyone. Rights and Responsibility Committee met today, and we discussed four different issues. First of all, we continued discussion on the issue of plus and minus grades as that Jolie reported on already. And what we're going to do is we're going to work through the summer on a survey. We think that we shouldn't just take the survey that Columbia had, so we're going to take that as a beginning and then work it out and make it into our own. And, of course, we welcome input from everybody on that. So throughout the summer, if you guys have anything that you'd like to add to the survey, please let Rod and I know. Our chair-elect is Randy Lowles. And where are you? There you go. So after August 16th, he's the person to contact about that. Okay. So we're going to hopefully have something ready in the fall that we can send out and get some feedback from everybody about this issue. The second issue we worked on is the issue that we already have the slide on, some changes to the faculty manual regarding some committee information, and we're going to bring that under new business and propose it as a motion to amend the faculty manual. So we'll talk about that more on under new business. The other two issues that we talked about were more complex issues. We talked about the issue of basically opening up or removing the restriction that that Senate Executive Committee members be currently serving as senators. This discussion has turned out to be more complicated than we perhaps initially thought. There's a lot of aspects that go into it, including the question of campus representation in the executive committee and the issue of being able to select members who would be particularly good and useful to the executive committee. So this is a very complex issue, which I encourage people to think a lot about. And we're going to be, I'm rotating off, but the Rights and Responsibilities Committee will continue to discuss this. This is obviously a very important matter. We do want to have the people on this committee that are the people who most want to serve and that are really committed to it, so we want to open it up, but we also have to consider these other issues. So that's something that we're going to continue to talk about, and of course I encourage everyone to talk about this with their own constituents. And the last topic was the issue of better defining the position of faculty liaison. Again, we could not reach a conclusion on this discussion today, so this is going to be continued in next year's R&R committee. One of the issues with that is the question of whether or not the faculty liaison officer is a member of the executive committee or not. So I guess the two topics are really related. The question of the executive, the membership in the executive committee and how these people are elected is also related to the issue of the faculty liaison. If we're going to make a decision that the faculty liaison officer is a member of the executive committee, which is not clear. Apparently, there are a lot. There are different thoughts on the matter. So I think, Tom, you have. I'm sorry. Did I say something else? Faculty manual liaison. Yes. All right. That is my report. Any questions? Yes, Julie.
When you say, when you say the executive committee question, are you talking about whether or not they are a member of the executive board or the executive committee overall?
The executive committee. That is the at-large member, the secretary,
the executive board.
That's okay. That's what we're talking about.
Okay,
I had it on executive committee.
Also, mean that they would rotate in to be present.
Indeed, I believe that's like an automatic rotation, but it's actually not from the position of vice president until. Past president, it is, but from at-large member, you have to be elected to be secretary. From secretary, you have to be elected, so it's not an automatic rotation.
Yes, but generally,
that's generally what people have done, but right. But again, the big question here is what happens to the, you know, where are these people elected from? Okay. Can you be elected if you're not a senator at that moment? So could we elect someone today that is not a member of Senate to be, say, secretary? Okay. Andy?
Compass Sumter. It seems to me that it's more logical that the faculty manual liaison officer be considered a member of the executive committee and not the executive board. So that you avoid this problem of where they go into the rotation, or whether they go into the rotation or not.
So they're a member of the committee with the other heads of the committees, but not the board.
Yes.
Okay, that's good opinion. We got it for the minutes. Yes. Did I see another hand up there? Yes.
Catalano Langstrom. I'm a little unclear on this executive committee board thing you're talking about. I don't find it in the manual. I do find an executive committee in the manual, and manual liaison officer is certainly not a member of the executive committee.
Okay, so I guess there's two ways of defining this, and it's not clear in the manual. That's one of the things we need to work on clarifying. Well, because the way that it's been going on is the board. I know.
Which part's not clear?
Not
in the
me. Okay, so when you say executive committee, do you include in that the committee chairs?
It's not what I say or include. It's what's in our manual on page 4. It's very clear. Nowhere in our manual does it talk about the executive board. I believe this body deals with what's in our manual. We don't make and we don't go by what's been done. We should go by what's in our manual.
That is true, but the whole point of our discussion here is to talk about changing that manual, the possibility of changing that manual. That's what we're talking about. So clarifying things and streamlining them, or maybe even making complete changes to it. And we're not doing it now. We're just discussing it. Jolie, do you want to add something on that?
It's been on the agenda for quite some time in past rotations, and we haven't gotten around to it yet, but in terms of clarifying the role of the executive committee and what each member does and the rotation. If you want to approach that subject, definitely the time is right for it.
Right, and that's what we're asking, that's what we've started talking about, and that's what we're asking people for feedback on, and again, that's what we're asking the committee next year to work on.
Yes, Andy.
Lancaster Yinks, does anyone have a rationale for the faculty manual liaison officer to become a member of the executive committee? Is there a reason that should be the case?
Lisa?
I don't think it matters whether the person is or is not, but it needs to be clarified whether the officer is or is not.
It seems clear that they are not now.
Well, if you look at the bylaws, what are the officers of the Senate? All the officers are not necessarily members of the executive committee. So right. All I'm saying is, one way or the other, clarify that. And if I don't care, if you're an executive committee member, one thing to keep in mind is you're not entitled to vote. And so that's a consideration, thinking about how you want your manual officers served. Now, I have not voted the whole time I've been in this office.
Don't hear?
Yeah. You haven't voted while you've been in that office, but you haven't been a Senate member either.
No, I'm not a senator.
Right,
I'm
so you wouldn't
officer.
Have voted anyway. And it's very clear who's on the executive committee now. I think if that group wants to bring forward a proposal tonight, it's fine, but it's clear now. It's not an unclear thing who's on that executive
committee. Well, I have to say, Lisa, if it's okay with you, I will say what you said to me, which was it's not clear because it wasn't clear to Lisa, so obviously it can be unclear. Yes, Andy.
Kanka Sumter, it seems to me that the executive committee has the power to invite anybody that they want to the executive committee. And so if the executive committee would like to have a regular standing invitation to the faculty manual liaison officer, which I think that we can assume has been the case for the past 2 years, then it's entitled to do that.
But perhaps we should write it down. We have that option.
And if I can add, Lisa Hammond-Lancaster, one thing that has been discussed in this is also determining clearly when the officer assumes the duties. So typically, executive committee members assume their duties immediately upon election. Senators assume their duties in August, August 16th. When does the faculty manual assume those duties? In other words, do I go ahead and put everything together from this year and send it to the board, or do I hand it to Andy and run out the door last time, which is templates, but Andy and I are working on that together if he's elected and we'll get that straightened out for this year, but we can clarify that going forward. So it's not a question of anybody being forced to put anybody on executive committee or cut anybody out. It's a question of clarifying what is the officer's role and when are the duties assumed.
Nick Lawrence, Lancaster. I guess on a practical level, what I'm wondering is, for example, the current candidate for the manual liaison is from Lancaster. Assuming that he stays on, what's that?
Yo.
So, if he were formally, but he's also an elected senator, yes. Like we voted for him to be a voting member of the Senate, and so. We would like to know, you say, well, this will be done next year, but I guess it's just like in everybody's best interest to know whether this person's going to still be able to vote, including he would probably like to know that, during next year's session. So what do you think about that?
As it stands now, no, the person would not, because I believe that we'll have to, okay. Chris.
Bundrick Lancaster, my understanding is that members of the executive committee lose their voting privileges. So a senator who becomes an officer in the form of manual liaison wouldn't, as currently not a member of executive committee, wouldn't lose voting privileges.
So you can stay a senator and be a faculty manual liaison.
That's explicitly stated.
Well, the chairs can, for example.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess then the answer is, well, if you're still a senator, then you vote. Then you vote.
Well, okay, as long as we're promising that.
Sorry?
We're promising that. We're saying, yes, he will be able to vote next year.
If the person continues to be a senator, then.
Bruce.
Niamh Lancaster. One of the reasons we have the committee structure we do is so that these types of issues can be talked out within the committee itself and then presented to the body. I think we're, at this point, we're somewhat usurping the opportunity of the rights and responsibilities to discuss these complex issues. And I think it ought to be left to them to talk it through and then present a proposal to the Senate, and then we'll debate.
Yes. Thank you.
True. I also want to say we're probably better off for hearing these opinions now. Andy, did you have something? Okay. Are we good?
Okay.
Okay. All right, we'll see you again in new business in a minute.
Welfare?
All right, so Welfare Committee was looking at three primary charges this year, and we're just sort of talked about today about closing out those three things, two of which obviously have already taken place with the TMP workshop. We've talked about that a good bit this year, ways to improve the workshop and make the workshop better for next year. And that'll be in a closing report that I'll send out to you, Tom, at some point next week. The other thing was the Duffy Award, and that'll be taken care of today during announcements. So we're real excited about that. The last thing was the faculty welfare survey, and I'll be under new business. We'll be coming up here with Sam, and just going to go over just a brief part of the report. Just a small presentation with some of the tables, talk about some of the numbers from the report. The actual report itself, the full report, will go out some point next week. It'll be delivered electronically. It's currently a 28-page document, 150 full-time faculty. I mean, we'd have to take out a quarter of the Pisgah Forest or something like that to get that out in a hard copy. So, and it just works better that way anyway. The two things that I just wanted to state before I go over that in new business is that, again, it is just an abbreviated part of the actual full report, just a couple of the tables to talk about. I'll remind you again when we're going over it, but just to remember that the survey is for you. The report is for you to read, for you to act on. If there are any questions that you have on anything that I talk about today, later on in new business, or from the report when you get it next week, please do not hesitate to email me. Also, we elected a chair. I'll be chair again next year. So that's it. Any questions? Awesome.
Watch the.
Yeah, I see.
Okay. System affairs.
My advice to any incoming chairs of other committees is that when you know your turn has come, start walking. Saves a lot of time. Okay. Under new business, system affairs will be presenting three proposals that have passed through the Palmetto College Advisory Committee to the System Affairs Committee for Senate consideration. These three proposals include reducing the foreign language requirement for the BLS and BOL degrees from 120, passing the exit exam for 122 to the 109, 110, or 121 proficiency. The other two proposals involve creating a major or cognate, major and cognate in the BLS degree for Native American studies, and a major and cognate in the BLS degree for health promotion, education, and behavior, or HPEB. So those will be coming forward in new business. In addition, the System Affairs Committee worked on clarifying the process by which changes can be made to the shared associate in arts and associate in science degrees. So I'm going to go over that process right now. Unfortunately, I don't have visual aids, so you're going to have to get out your pens and pencils and write this down. I'll put it in the minutes. A change to the to either one of the degree programs or both can be proposed by an originating body that could be an individual campus, faculty organization, an individual senator or individual faculty member of Palmetto College. That proposal then goes to the System Affairs Committee as the Palmetto College Curriculum Committee. The System Affairs Committee members bring the proposal to their respective faculty organizations for discussion and feedback. The System Affairs Committee members then bring their respective faculty's input back to the committee, and the committee votes on the proposal. The proposal then goes to the Senate floor for approval of the entire body. If the proposal is approved, the Senate chair informs the individual campuses of the change and reports to the appropriate Palmetto College offices. Before I move on, are there any questions about that? Yeah, Chris.
Lancaster, I see the sense of this system that you're describing, but it seems to me that it oversteps the powers of the Senate as granted by the manual, which don't include any language about taking over local control of the two-year degree programs, which I understand are currently under the control of local faculty on each campus.
Okay, this process that we discussed is based on the changes that were made to the faculty manual last year.
Could you maybe specify where that change is?
Yeah, does somebody have the manual handy? I don't have my manual here. Yeah.
Do you need one? I'll get it.
Go now.
Where's the actual manual in here? Don't take pictures.
Good job. Well, what is with you? I can't. Jimmy, listen.
I'm glad I picked the person who is most efficient in using paper, and so I'm going to have to use my old man eyes to try to figure this out. Okay, so the change to the faculty manual, one of the changes to the faculty manual we made last year states in page 1, under Palmetto College Campus's faculty organization, within the limits established by the Board of Trustees, the combined accreditation with USC Columbia and the policies and rules of the Palmetto College Campus's Faculty Senate, the faculty of a Palmetto College campus will have policymaking authority over standards of admission, registration, requirements for and the granting of degrees, the general curriculum, instruction, research, extracurricular activities, discipline of students, the educational policies and standards of the campus, and all other matters pertaining to the conduct of faculty affairs, including the authority to discipline its own members. Okay, the phrase that was added last year, the combined accreditation with USC Columbia, within the limitations established by the combined accreditation of USC Columbia, is where the issue came up last year of the need for the combined or shared associate degrees. So it is within the limitations of that accreditation that require this process that we've discussed. Yep, Bundrick.
So I guess I'm a little confused between the distinction, maybe you can clarify, the distinction between requiring and empowering, because I don't see anything in that that empowers the Senate to override the current situation, which is the local campus controls the curriculum. I don't see anything that explicitly gives the Senate authority to change local curriculum.
Yeah.
this board can prevent a local campus from changing their curriculum, if I'm understanding you right, but cannot give anyone else the authority to.
It seems to me that the operative language there is that the Palmetto College campus, the Palmetto College campuses will have policymaking authority. I think without defining limits or specific empowerment otherwise, that says to me that the local campuses control the two-year programs.
Okay. The combined accreditation, let me see if this answers your question. The combined accreditation of the USC Palmetto College campuses with USC Columbia is what has required the creation of these shared degrees. Okay. So within that limitation, the shared degrees are, I don't know how to say this, the shared degrees are under the control of the Senate.
I have to say that I think history is not following on that. Individual campuses had to vote for the current degree plans that we have right now.
Right, and that happened before this change was made to the manual. And so you're absolutely right. In the past, we've done it that way. But once we changed the manual to this, and anybody else who has memory of this can chime in as well. Once we changed the manual to this, add this statement, that changed the control of those associate degrees. Yeah, Henny.
Can even go with something. My primitive understanding is that although the individual campuses may still quote unquote own the degrees, because of the combined accreditation requirements, there must also be an umbrella coordination of all of that. And I think that the role you are referring to is as much to make sure that we are in a common, trying to patch the two together so it will work. I don't think that the intent initially was for the individual campuses to surrender their authority, but it needs to be done in such a way that it is a common degree in terms of the accreditation.
So, Henny, are you saying that it's more of an agreement of cooperation amongst the campuses to do it this way, as opposed to, say, something that's mandated by the manual to do it this way?
The role of the Senate, in my view, would be one to make sure that individual campuses don't end up doing something that would cause us to not be accredited.
Right. And so any individual campus that is creating a change to the shared AA and AS degree that wouldn't be a change that was shared by the other campuses would potentially be putting that accreditation at risk. And therefore, that does fall to the Senate then to ensure that the accreditation is maintained.
For the good of all.
Okay. Now, I also think, and this comes under another matter in my report, but that this change was made to the manual fairly quickly last year in order to get this problem solved. I would recommend, and I'm not going to be on Senate next year, so I can't do anything about this, that System Affairs in the Senate consider more detailed changes to the manual that would clarify what we're talking about here so that we don't have this disagreement and that the point of the combined accreditation with USC Columbia clause in the manual isn't dependent on a group of faculty's institutional memory of what went on last year. Did I see another hand? Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify, it sounds like this prepositional phrase at the start of the sentence is offering restrictions on one campus's ability to change their degree plan. I think this is speaking to what Chris says, and that makes sense, that this accreditation can prevent one campus from changing their degree plan in any way that would affect accreditation. It does not sound like it gives anybody else the authority to change somebody else's degree plan.
I think it's under the head.
But now I'm going to stop talking.
Again, to clarify, we have two authorities that we have to ultimately respond to. One is the CHE, which has granted the individual campuses the authority to award degrees, Secondly, and unrelated to CHE, is the accreditation through SACS, and those are two separate authorities. Both of them have to be satisfied. So I think the strategy is to come up with a plan that we can comply with both sets of rules, that the rule us both independently from each other. The SACS doesn't owe anything to the CHE and vice versa, and we've got to make sure that both of them are happy.
What I would add to answer Andy Ingst's point too is that we already have a procedure for curriculum approval changes that goes through system affairs as the curriculum committee and then to the Senate floor. That is already in place. That's already in the manual. That doesn't change because of this. What changes is where does the approval, if at all, come before it hits the System Affairs Committee? Yeah.
Gottsman, Salkahatchee. It just seems to me that what some people are suggesting here is that after it's approved by the Senate as a body, the changes to the AS or AA degrees should go back to the campuses to be ratified by all campuses again every time, like we did last year for the Common Curriculum. I mean, that would be what would be involved if we have an issue of the Senate making the decision, but every individual campus still having a say in that.
I would suggest then that that's something that System Affairs and the Senate as a whole take up next year to clarify and put in that process. Because I don't think that's necessary based on the manual as it stands now. But if the Senate wishes it to be necessary, then that process can be clarified in the manual. Any other questions or discussion about that? Okay. So I guess my next point to make is an announcement and I guess an apology right now to Kajal Ghashroi for being elected to serve as chair of System Affairs next year. So good luck with that. One of the other items that we discussed was something that has come up from other sources, especially the Provost Advisory Committee, regarding the process by which courses are approved for the Carolina Core. And one of the concerns that came up in the Provost Advisory Committee and has come up all year elsewhere is how do we, as Palmetto College faculty, get informed about courses that are being approved for the Carolina Core. Right now, we do get the information from Robert Castleberry as Courses and Curriculum Committee representative. But the question is, what information can we get further up the line of that approval process? And so we discussed at length the idea of having the System Affairs Committee chair as a kind of clearinghouse for information on this. So the System Affairs Committee chair would liaise with the different groups at each step of the process to gather this information and then share it with the Palmetto College faculty so we know earlier on what courses are being considered for approval for the core, and especially if Palmetto College faculty have originated the proposals, what is the status of those proposals as they go along? And as System Affairs Committee Chair, I've been in talks with Chris Nesmith about this, and Chris has talked to Mary Ann Burns and other people involved on the Columbia end, and the Executive Committee has also discussed this with the Columbia Faculty Senate Chair and Chair-Elect. So it looks like we are in the process of having a good, clear line of communication for that information. And finally, the committee discussed as we were charged in executive committee by the chancellor to identify two or three key issues that the committee will need to address in the coming year. And so these are the kind of priorities for the committee, but that doesn't mean these are the only things the committee will be addressing. One is, of course, the continued discussion of the associate degree programs, and not just the shared associate degree programs, but the procedure by which a new associate degree could be proposed and what process that goes through. Additional, continuing the discussion about additional Palmetto College courses being offered, and this issue of improved communication regarding curricular matters as they're going through Columbia. And this is my last Senate meeting as System Affairs Committee Chair and as Senator for a while, so thanks everybody. And I enjoyed my time in this job. That's the only reason I said that, was for your approval.